With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings at Kaplansky.com.
Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, it is former New England Patriot Matt Light. Ken's arch enemy. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, sir.
Knowing the man, the player, as well as you do, are you surprised at all that Tom Brady was able to get back to the Super Bowl?
I mean, I don't know that I'm surprised. I mean, it's like, okay, Tom Brady's in another Super Bowl, the 10th. I mean, yeah, no kidding, obviously. But the way they did it was kind of unique, right? I mean, I think when they came out the gate in that New Orleans opener, it was like, ah, man, you know what? They looked pretty decent. You know, there was a lot of talk about Tommy being too old and how's he going to be able to, you know, live without Bill Belichick, and, you know, who are the guys around him? Are they going to be able to get on the same page? But they were playing a New Orleans team that was, you know, obviously hitting on all cylinders. And as you watched the Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, you know, team, you started to see the little pieces of the puzzle come together throughout the season. And I think, as you always heard here in New England, you get past Thanksgiving and you want to start seeing your team playing the best football they can play, and that's what they've been able to do. And you see that team hitting on all cylinders right now. They're playing really good football, and that's with Tommy, you know, arguably not even at the peak of his game, especially last week. So yeah, it's pretty cool to watch this all unfold again.
We were discussing this earlier when it comes to Tom Brady and what he brings to an organization. Is it more the physical, the athletic skill, or is it the leadership, the will to win, the way in which he can, it appears that he has taken this franchise and made them believe in themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're getting at, right, is what are the, you know, the tangible aspects to his game people can relate to, right? They understand that his technique and his drive, you know, his never being satisfied with kind of where he's at personally or where his team's at. We all get that. We've read some of the books. We understand, you know, don't eat strawberries, hydrate a lot, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what you're getting at and what you're hinting at, or what are the other things that maybe aren't as noticeable? And what I think that comes down to, right, you know, the attitude is a lot. You'll hear Tommy talk about it. I mean, didn't he do the whole tour with Tony Robbins and him, yeah, and Julian and all those guys? And some of that is true in the idea that your attitude, how you carry yourself, the things you say, how you talk to the people around you really does matter. And case in point, right, we've heard about the cancers in the locker room. We had them when I was in New England playing. We didn't have too many of them. We never really let them become distractions. Bill did a lot of that, you know, through personnel decisions and people that he would get rid of or bring in. But, you know, think about it in the context of being in business, right? When you walk into an office or you walk into a conference room and there's somebody there at the table that always has a negative attitude, it brings down the whole meeting in some form or fashion.
Right.
The same is true when you have somebody who, every day that you're around them, it maybe it's just the way they carry themselves. They always have a good attitude, even when they feel terrible, or even when, you know, that's kind of what Tommy does. Like, his attitude is always about, how can we get better? How can I talk to you in a way that maybe I can get you to understand what my expectations are and not just yell at you? I mean, we've seen him do it. We've seen him go off on the sideline But that's not what I'm talking about. Like, he holds himself at such a level that it forces everybody around him to just say, you know what? I'm in. I'm there. And I think it's pretty cool to watch. And there'll be a lot of stuff written about that down the road, I'm sure, by him and all the people that have been around him, even people like myself, to sing the praises of what Tommy brings to an organization.
And how much of that what existed in him before Bill Belichick, and how much of that can you say is something that he learned, that he observed with the way Bill conducted things?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's an interesting question. I think that, look, when I got to New England in 2001, I didn't even remember Tommy from the Big Ten. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful or to be like, you know, like, oh, look, you know, this guy meant nothing. Like, I literally mean that. Like, I was in the Big Ten at the same time Tommy was there, yeah. Right? You know, one of my guys that came into Purdue with me, and we were in the same, you know, rookie class, freshman class, you know, ended up as a roommate with Tommy when he was an undrafted, you know, free agent here in 2000. So, you know, I come to New England and I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, God, yeah, I don't remember him from Michigan. but what I did see, right, was, you know, this guy definitely loves the game of football and he is in it, you know, like as a backup, he's in it. And then of course, you know, the Mo Lewis hit heard around the AFC East, you know, and he comes in and he immediately, you know, transferred all of the work ethic and the determination and the chip on the shoulder, which he does have, whether, you know, it's talked about a lot in his own circle or not, but, you know, he brought all that early on, but I think he did develop, you know, Tommy 2.0, you know, through the tutelage of, you know, Bill Belichick and all the other coaches that he was around and winning, right? It's amazing what winning does. You hear Bill talk about it a lot, but it does something to you to build not just confidence, but that swagger that you can walk into any situation knowing that, hey, I've done everything I could. I got a great cast around me, and I'm going to go get it now. And he's been doing that for 20-plus years.
Matt, when Bill looks at everything and sees what Tom's able to do, do you think he kind of looks and goes, maybe I regret the decision of letting him walk away?
You know, I think from a maybe in a big picture sense, right? Like, I wish there would have been something we could have done. But I think ultimately there was so much piled onto that relationship that it was like, okay, you know what? Yeah, I'm better off with a guy like Tom Brady, you know, commanding the offense, but it's just not going to work for me, right? Like, it was more of a, I don't look, Wiggy, you know, like Bill always talks about, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the team. And that was always kind of the stopping point, right? Like, you know, we're not going to make it emotional. We're not going to try to, you know, spend too much money in one specific area, right? We're going to try to do what's in the best interest of the team. And that's how we make decisions. And that's truly how he governs it. I have a hard time looking at Tom Brady walking out of New England and saying that it fits that category. So on one hand, I think, yeah, there is regret. I don't think it fits the mold. I think there was value in Tom Brady. There's clearly been proven now value in Tom Brady. And I think that's one of those you wish you had back. It's a do-over.
But is he a guy who looks back at things and has regret or only looks forward?
So he's not dwelling on that, right? I mean, I think, again, big picture, you know, wishes he had that one back, but he's not going to dwell on that. I mean, the minute he made that decision to move on, and I think that happened, you know, probably last season sometime, right? Or the season, not this past season, but the season before when things started really to crumble and there's a lack of communication and, you know, Tommy's actions and, you know, when he was around, when he wasn't around and everybody talk about it. I think that was made then. And I don't think he's ever looked back. And that Bill's not that kind of guy. This is a rebuilding year for Bill in a million different ways. And like I said on this show before the season ever started, you know, I don't think Bill looked at this as a real NFL season, right? I think he approached it completely different. Again, I don't think he went out there and didn't give it his all. I mean, he did what he could, but he did it in a different way, knowing that he's building for this next season. So, but he's not looking back.
But couldn't they have gone to couples counseling or something like that? And, when it comes to toxic relationships, couldn't they have found a way through it for us? I mean, just for a couple more.
Hey, listen, I can't understand how any man couldn't love olives. Black olives, green olives, the ones with the little...
They're disgusting. Matt, they are disgusting. They're gross. I can't...
See, and once you get to that point, though, I can't convince you that black olives are worth eating, right? So this is a black olive situation, Greg, where they're not going to be able to make this work.
Yeah.
Matt, you're close with the Patriots organization and the Crafts. How did Robert and Jonathan allow the relationship between Brady and Bill to become past the point of no return?
Well, you know, again, it's there's so much depth to that, you know, kind of a conversation. And, you know, I think that there's a very interesting relationship that exists between ownership, head coach, player personnel guys, and players around the league. It's done so wildly different, and it's not as if one way always works, right? Because I've seen examples and I'm like, man, there's no way that's going to work, and how they share information and how they talk and how they communicate and what they do in front of players. Man, I can tell you, there are guys in the league that have been on other teams and watched crazy stuff happen between ownership and coaches. And we've never experienced that, or at least I never experienced that in my 11 seasons in New England, right? It was always very professional. It was very clear that Bill made the decisions for the team, and the Kraft family guided the organization as a whole to give it the best ability to succeed within the framework of how they communicated with the head coach. And and we didn't understand it all. I don't know what the rules of engagement there are, but there is separation and there is trust between, you know, those two entities and how they operate. So I don't know how it got to that point. I know that the relationship between Bill and Tommy and then the Kraft family and Tommy are two totally separate areas.
When you look at Bill, right, you were around in 2002 when you guys missed the playoff, and then the next year you get back to the Super Bowl. What's Bill's mindset? You talk about mindset and you know, creating a culture of winning. How determined is he now, especially after the way this season played out, for him to be right back in the conversation next year as the Patriots being a legit contender in the AFC?
Well, I think that Bill has been shifting how he organizes and runs his team over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. I mean, it's been an interesting transition to watch. And look, there's a lot of things that come into play there. You know, his personnel, I mean, the number of people that have come through, you know, the coaching carousel here in New England has been really interesting to see. If you go back and you do a full dissection of, you know, who these people are coaching, who's joining Bill's staff, the kind of people he's bringing in for like temporary positions to full-time positions, it's very interesting to watch. And then on top of that, you have the rules and all the changes. So Bill's had to really change his game. And I think he has probably been energized by how do I win in this new NFL environment? Because it's drastically different. And that's what Bill's all about. Give me a challenge. Let me see what the rules are and how I can find a niche and how I can find a little bit of an advantage. And then let's exploit that to the nth degree. And I don't think this past season he had the tools to do that. I think he knew that going into it. And there's a lot of reasons there too. This pandemic was a lot of it. But coming out of this, I think Bill's learned a lot about this season, and to your point, I think he's fired up. And they'll be a very different Patriots team in 21.
If you look at your 11 years and what those teams were able to accomplish, would you have been able to accomplish it either without Bill Belichick or without Tom Brady?
Yeah, no way. I mean, and that was, you know, that was like lightning in a bottle, man. And by the way, those two are definitely the catalyst. But within every catalyst, you got to have fuel to burn, right? Like, you can get that spark, you can get that, you know, really fire, you know, that you light underneath some people that are the like the mouthpieces for the offense or the defense. But, you know, it's other guys. It's man, I look back on my time and I think about the guys like Mike Vrabel, right? And the minute he became a head coach in the National Football League, I told everybody I knew, I said, that guy's going to have success. Because there's something special about a Mike Vrabel. There's something special about a Teddy Bruschi. You know, there's something special about a Kevin Falk. There's something special about a Steve Neal. I could go on for days. We had the fuel for the catalyst of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady to be able to, you know, burn through a number of championships and create a dynasty.
Now, Matt, we agree on many things. I agree with your statement earlier in the year that this was not really football as we have come to know it. It's kind of a joke. So, therefore, won't we look back on this Brady trip to the Super Bowl as kind of insignificant in the big picture?
Well, listen, I figured you'd come up with a hard-hitting question here, Ken. I mean, that's a really good lead into what we can talk about. Yeah, no, look, again, like I said, I think this is how I think Bill, you know, views this. And again, not because I've talked to him, but because, you know, he does things at the highest level. And if you're in his shoes, how else can you look at this, really? I mean, think about the ridiculousness of what these coaches have had to endure. Number one, you're wearing a face mask on a sideline. I mean, if that's not asininely stupid, just as wearing a face mask going into any establishment thinking that it's going to do anything when it's been proven otherwise. But we could go on for days about that. So it's ridiculous to look at this season and the rules of engagement and think that a guy like Bill Belichick is like, yeah, let's go. Let's get after it. We got a game to win. This is business as usual. There was no way to predict who was even going to be on the field, whether they opted out or opted in, right? So, look, I don't think that Tom Brady going to a Super Bowl is insignificant. They put in a lot of work. And because they put in the work, they earned the right to be where they are. And if they do win the championship, or if it's a Patrick Mahomes-led KC team, right, it'll be something that they can hang their hat on, for sure. But is it something that, you know, a guy like Bill Belichick looks at and says, yeah, I'm gonna do everything I can to pull out all the stops? Because that's what it takes, right, to win, you know, in the National Football League. And if you don't think that it's really worth it based on the rules of engagement and how ridiculous this thing has become, which I think we can all agree that this season was kind of crazy with the number of players in the in, not in, out category carousel, it's kind of ridiculous to look at it and think otherwise.
So Bill kind of looks at it like, if you want to judge Brady versus Belichick, you got to wait till next year, till it's a real season.
Question, did Bill get his full $25 million check for this, quote, fake season?
Hey, man, we're all getting checks, right? Let's just keep throwing them out there.
Last thing for me. When we know about Belichick and we know about Brady, what makes them great is their passion and love for the game. How long you think that Tom plays for and how long you think Bill coaches for? Because I feel like these guys are not going nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, Tom is such an anomaly. I mean, he really is, and it kind of bothers me. I mean, it just bothers me that, you know, I feel as fat and sloppy and out of shape and winded in everything that I do, and he's still out there doing what he's always done at the highest level. On the other hand, you know, let's compare it to a guy like Drew Brees, right? And these are, you know, I mean, I've said this many times, but you can be the worst left tackle in the world, but if you got Drew Brees and Tom Brady as your only two quarterbacks since high school, you'll do fine in life, right? Yeah, you'll look great. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, you know, Drew is right there with Tommy in longevity. They're both, you know, record holders in really unique ways. They've done it at the highest level for the longest time ever. And I look at Brees' situation and say, you know what? There's probably a good likelihood that he does retire after this season, right? I mean, for a lot of reasons. Tommy, though, on the other hand, let's say he wins a championship, it'd be like the perfect time to go out. And in the back of my mind, it's like the guy's probably not going to give it up. He's going to probably keep going. And I don't know what that spark will be that in his mind he says, I need to hang it up. But what I do think is right now, there's nothing in him that has that, you know, thought process coming through.
And Bill, how long do you think Bill goes for?
Till the end of time. The end of time. Be like the Emperor, man. It'll just be the hoodie, and you can't really see anything under it. But supposedly he's still there, and that's 2063.
Right. Him and Larry King will both be frozen together.
All right. Well, it's an amazing accomplishment. You cannot take anything away from the fact that Tom Brady at age 43 is playing in another Super Bowl. It's just amazing. We were talking earlier, they're calling this the greatest quarterback matchup in a Super Bowl ever. I think it's kind of early on Mahomes to do that, but I don't know. Maybe you can argue that.
It'll be fun. I know that much. And I'll tell you, they got their work cut out for them, because if you want to talk just, you know, this game in particular, you watch Kansas City just execute at an amazing level. I mean, you know, from the tight end to the running back to a guy like Hill to, you know, how that offense can seemingly just, you know, dial up anything and have success with it. All the trick plays, all the misdirection stuff, the straight up drop back passes, you know, Mahomes creating opportunities. I mean, that's a very tough team to stop. And I think it's going to come down to Tom Brady doing what he's done many times in his career, feeding the ball in that running game, using the physicality of his guys up front. Their center is a physical dude. They got other guys on that front line that are physical guys, and if they can run the rock and keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, they'll have a good chance of winning this one.
All right, before you go, I know you got an event coming up for the Matt Light Foundation, and give it a plug.
Yeah, baby, we got our Fool's Night Out back. We took the spring off last year, April 1st, man. You can't forget that date. This is not a joke. This is not a, you know, no shenanigans, but we will be at the Minden Drive-In Theater for the first time ever for Fool's Night Out. You got a whole carload. Bring them. All the information's at madlight72.com. We got the best comedians, of course, headed up by our dear friend, Mr. Lenny Clark, and his brother, Mike. They organized the whole thing.
They are the
and
best.
And when I say fun, it's fun. And Wiggy will pull out some shenanigans from back in the day in the locker room. We always like airing a few of those at this event. And we'll have some fun in Minden on April 1st. So go to MattLight72.com. I appreciate you, brother.
Was Light one of the guys that you watched and learned from? You mentioned guys earlier.
Yeah, right? I mean, Light was a guy.
You seem kind of hesitant to say that you learned anything.
From everybody I played with.
Okay.
That was my thing.
What did you learn from?
I won the biggest, the fastest, the strongest.
What did you learn from Light?
Quick hands.
Oh, okay.
Get your hands on them. get your hands on them before their engine can get going.
Hey, listen, man, I learned how to laugh in the most tense environment of my life, my rookie season, by watching Wiggy and watching our man, Mr. Rod Rutledge, because those two would be cutting up in the back of the room, and I'm like, man, they're going to get fired. What are these cats doing? This is crazy. This is like Seriousville. You can't laugh in here.
So what
God
you're
love
saying,
you, Wig.
So yeah, what you're saying it. Is not much has changed. While Bill was having a meeting, Wiggy was talking over everybody.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. All right.
We had a good time, boy.
It's MattLight72.com, right, to learn about the event?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Light. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. You guys have a great week.
You have enraged the Kens of the world with your comment about masks, so get ready for the backlash. It's coming in your direction.
I love it.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Later.
There he is. Wow. Ken, irresponsible comment there.
He called Brady's Super Bowl trip insignificant. That's unbelievable. Posting that right now.
Right. He just got G-healed.
I think he has some insight into Bill, and I think Bill may have looked at this as a throwaway season. We talked about it last time he said it.
Well, it certainly was.
That it was, but that's why I think
we got to get to Kendall Wiggs. We have some news that just popped where the Bradys have responded.
Okay. Ooh. All right, let's get to Ken and what is trending.
The NFL playoffs live here. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, some people believe Bill Belichick fired the first shot, Greg, with the Linda Holiday IG. Little shot at Brady last week. This is from Karen Garigian and the Boston Herald. Exclusive interview with Tom Brady Sr. First, Tom Brady Sr. gushes about Robert Kraft and Jonathan. Quote, Robert's been a spectacular owner for 25 years. He is sincere in his feelings for Tommy when he expresses those, and vice versa. Tommy feels the same way for Robert Kraft. He has an extraordinary close relationship with him. I know Robert is rooting for Tommy right now, as I know Jonathan, Danny, and the whole family. There's no question about that, end quote. Then, what about Belichick? Brady Sr., quote, I'm guessing he's on a little bit of a hot seat right now, end quote.
Oh, okay. I mean, what does that mean?
Oh, that's going to go around the world.
Like, hot seat, like, if he doesn't get it right, he's going to get fired?
I guess that's what, yeah, hot seat based on his decision that Tom Sr. believes he made, mm-hmm. which was not to stick with Tommy Jr.
Look at the juxtaposition between the fawning praise mm-hmm. for the entire Kraft family. I think he even mentioned two grandkids in there.
Right.
And then he gets to Belichick, and he's on the hot seat.
That's all you need to know.
But doesn't that make you kind of look side-eye at the Krafts and go, wait a second, if they loved him that much, don't you think they step in and make sure he gets a deal done?
Yeah.
They're trying to have it both ways, Wiggs.
The only son he left out mentioning was Greg Hill.
I'm not a son.
He's like cousin Oliver. Yeah.
He's like a cousin for marriage.
Especially after that Dan Kraft coat crack.
After the coat fire incident.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That put you in the hot seat. Now, Brady Sr., by the way, also spoke to, who was this with, Curtis?
Greenberg.
Greeny, yeah.
Oh, about COVID?
Yeah, the COVID. COVID survivor, 3 weeks in the hospital. Listen to this.
When the season started this year, I was in the hospital with COVID for almost 3 weeks, and my wife was sick with COVID at the same time. We didn't even see the first two games of the year. It's the first two games I've ever missed in his career because I was sick as a dog, and my wife was sick as a dog.
Wow. But you got Matt Light making mass
cracks. The way he phrased it, it was a really dangerous situation, right?
Well, if you're in the hospital 3 weeks, right, something
yeah.
ain't right.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all survivors.
Three ratings are in for the Boston and Providence markets for the Packers Bucks game. No surprise. Both top five of any market in the country. Boston did a 36, Providence a 37.9. Both top five, according to Fox.
This Super Bowl, I feel like, is going to break records. Mahomes and Brady.
Yeah, but for the first time ever, there will be no Clydesdales commercial.
I know, sad.
Aww,
yeah.
That's depressing.
The Budweiser won't have any of that?
But they're donating the money somewhere else?
Yeah, they're donating it to COVID. So Budweiser, I think Coke and Pepsi are all choosing not to do Super Bowl commercials.
But this is a PR stunt from Anheuser-Busch because Bud Light has a commercial.
Oh, they do?
So it's not like they're not spending any money on the NFL.
Well, what a cynic. Jeez.
What, have you met him?
It's the same company, Ken.
Well, they would have spent more. They would have promoted both Bud and Bud Light.
They're getting you to talk about it, which means they won, you lost.
Correct.
Okay. Nice view of the world. Celtics win last night, 119-103. Bruins, Penguins tonight, 7 o'clock faceoff. No pasta yet, but maybe this weekend. And the big Red Sox trade yesterday for Adam Ottavino, plus a prospect in the books. Baseball Hall of Fame selection tonight, maybe Schilling. We'll find out at 6 o'clock. It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To go.
We're back to more The Greg Hill Show on EEI.
Sometimes I take a left when everything is right, and I can see the road when I turn out the light. I sleep under the stars and then it starts to rain. Take cover in a bar and run into a friend, and run into a friend. Running to a friend, running to a friend, till the sun comes out again. Fell asleep in LA, woke up in Bangkok, gave my soul to a babe in a pawn shop. For my E or my home, could be anywhere, any road, any road, any road will take me there.
Wiggy, where do you stand on Rappaport yesterday saying that Tom Brady essentially made his choice to depart New England on or about the time that Bill did not get a deal done when it came to a trade for Diggs?
Whoa! That's news
is that
to
a,
me.
Is that a whoa for you?
That's a whoa, whoa, whoa. That is news to
Sing
me
it, baby.
Because that also puts more of this blame on Belichick, right? Knowing that, all right, here's all you had to do to get
keep Tom Brady happy.
To keep Tom, and maybe he comes back for that number you threw out there if you get a guy like Stephon Diggs. I mean, look what Diggs is doing in Buffalo.
But that's why I said at the time, and you guys poo-pooed it, that the N'Keal Harry was the biggest blunder of Belichick over the last several years, because if he takes DK Metcalf or A.J. Brown in that slot instead of N'Keal Harry, there's a high good likelihood that Brady's still here. He needed receivers, and Belichick failed miserably in scouting and getting the right one. Because
so you're disregarding any other part of that toxic relationship which had developed, and you're saying that that's the fix, is weapon.
Tom Brady did not want to play for the Buccaneers. This is not like he had spent his whole life dreaming to go to Tampa. He wanted to go to San Francisco. They didn't want him. He wanted to play for Vrabel. He didn't want him. He didn't want to leave. Belichick just made it impossible for him to stay.
It is interesting that Brady said in that Howard Stern clip we played yesterday, Greg, he starts with, Belichick started planning for the future, and I don't blame him for that. This definitely goes into the kettle of Brady was looking 2, 3, 4 years down the road as opposed to win now mode.
But see, I don't understand like where, because the Stephon Diggs happens during the sad Tom Brady season, right? Because
right.
It was rumors of him getting traded during the season, and we were all on board for that, right? We were on board for that. Then it went from him to Emmanuel Sanders, and eventually it ended up being Mohamed Sanu. I don't necessarily think the N'Keal Harry thing affected Tom. Because he doesn't know what N'Keal Harry is, the same way he wouldn't have known what DK Metcalf or what A.J. Brown was.
Right, but he was on the team with them. He played a year with N'Keal Harry. If he played a year with DK Metcalf, he would have been happier. He would have wanted to stay.
Right, and initially based on the first year that DK Metcalf does well, right? So I agree with you, Curtis, that Bill missed on his evaluating N'Keal Harry, and whoever said, hey, this is the guy to go get before any of those guys needs to reevaluate what they do. But I think this Stephon Diggs thing is interesting because that happened in the offseason. So if you're able to, if this report is true, if he gets Stephon Diggs, there's a good chance that you see Brady and Diggs this season doing what Josh Allen and Diggs are doing in Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that he essentially the report is that the Vikings came back to the Patriots and gave them one last shot at it. Is that correct? Let's listen here.
Well, thanks, Kim. It's safe to say that March 16th last year, when the Bills acquired Stephon Diggs in a massive blockbuster with the Minnesota Vikings, was one of the most important days in recent memory for Buffalo. So let's take a look back at how this happened. There were always rumors about a possible Diggs trade for Minnesota. Nothing was going on. Then he tweeted, time for a new beginning. That was about 3 p.m., Rich. At 9 p.m., they had a trade incredibly fast. But here's the fascinating part. The two teams that were in it at the end for Stephon Diggs, the Buffalo Bills, who got him, and the New England Patriots. In fact, before the Vikings did the deal, they checked with the Patriots. Do you want to match? The Patriots said no. Diggs, of course, did the deal. Here's the fallout. Of course, the Buffalo Bills have Stephon Diggs. The Vikings took Justin Jefferson at 22. The next day, Tom Brady said goodbye to New England.
Whoa. Mm.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's a bombshell.
The amazing thing, and I heard this elsewhere across the country yesterday, is that Tom Brady, year after year, told Bill that he wanted to stay and play until he was 45. He told that to Kraft. He told that to Bill. And Bill didn't believe in him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He said no. And that's when Kraft aligned with Bill and Brady left. It's that easy.
But
Brady
that's where Kraft's wrong, though, Curtis. Because we just heard Tom Brady's dad, or you talked about what Tom Brady's dad was talking about and how Kraft loves him and the relationship between Tom and Robin. Like, that's where you, as the owner of the team, you
step in,
yes,
and you say enough.
If Bill's getting $25 million a year, it's because of you cutting that check. That's where you step in and go, Bill, listen. Maybe you don't want him no more. Maybe you feel like he doesn't have anything left. But just because of everything that he's been able to do with this franchise, as well as you, here's what we're going to do.
But then you run the risk of alienating Bill.
Do you really think you alienate Bill?
And he has 47 touchdown passes.
But you already alienated Bill, theoretically, when it came to the Garoppolo decision.
And how did they do together after that? They won a Super Bowl.
Yes, they did. But
right,
it's not always from Bill's perspective, it's about he's running the show.
He's been wrong twice, though, Greg. He's been wrong twice. He was wrong in picking Jimmy G over Brady, and he was wrong on giving up on Brady. Wrong twice.
They might have won a Super Bowl with Jimmy G.
Yeah, he has to stay healthy there.
No, they wouldn't have won a Super Bowl. And you don't think Bill would have been able to look at it like, all right, it might not be what I want, but it's all about football, and I'll figure it out.
So you think that's all it takes is you go and get Stephon Diggs and Tom Brady stays here?
They got Antonio Brown, and we were talking about this team going undefeated. I mean, think about that.
And if AB could have just kept himself in some kind of an orbit that's a normal human orbit, then maybe things would be different.
Well, maybe Belichick was spooked because Brady, again, quit coming to off-season workouts, and he's like, all right, he tells me he wants to play to 45, but is this the attitude I'm going to get? Like, a half in, half out? He's not going to work with young receivers? I mean,
anybody that says that Jimmy Garoppolo was the right decision is not paying attention. He has played one season where he has started more than six games.
Well, you better get ready. He might be the solution here.
He's played going forward.
Very likely that he probably is.
He's played like.
Ooh, you got some inside info.
No,
on that.
I don't. Oh. I just think that Bill. Bill
they were in Miami partying together.
Curtis, tweet that out.
They were in Miami partying together.
It was Fort Lauderdale.
And if Jimmy G had any clutch gene whatsoever, he completes that pass in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, and they win.
And by the way, to answer the texters who want to know the rejoin song, that is a song that I got my love for from Brees Hill in Fort Lauderdale.
Nice.
So what did Jimmy G say when you were down there?
That song is called Woke Up in Bangkok.
What's the capital of Thailand?
Texters were asking. They wanted to know. But I don't know. Listen, Ken's lead this morning was you have at least five highly paid quarterbacks, which you can go and get. Do you really suspect that Bill Belichick is going to spend like a drunken sailor on one of those five quarterbacks.
He has to. Patriots fans riot if they don't get Rodgers, Watson, Stafford, Jimmy G, or Wentz.
Didn't you just want to put Trump in jail for inciting a riot? That's basically what you're doing.
They storm Gillette. Yes. But what did Matt Light just say? Bill next year is going to be all in, right? All in because of him knowing, you know, whatever you want to do.
So he's going to be all in on paying a quarterback $25 million. He has to be.
He's going
to
be all in on getting this organization back to relevancy. Yep. When you look at them and you go, okay, the Patriots are a contender. We have to be concerned about this team. Bill has to do that, especially when we know how much money he's going to be sitting on. So there's no, you know, him going on OMF and going, well, you know, financially things are, you know, we didn't really have the money. That's why we're only able to sign Cam to this. No, there'll be no excuses. It'll be you got the money. It's what are you doing with it?
All right, 617-779-7937 is the number to call if you want to be on this morning, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. Quick reminder that if for any reason you're unable to listen to this show on the radio, you can stream it at weei.com or on the radio.com app. And a quick pro tip, favorite weei in the radio.com app to make everything easier. And then you can take this show wherever you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Greg Hill Show on EEI.
Yeah, Bill, that's a good question. I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough. Especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach. But I do appreciate you all and the job that you've done this year. I appreciate our interactions. Appreciate the opportunity to share every week. Always be thankful for this season.
Sad Aaron Rodgers. We dealt with sad Tom Brady last year. Now right. that's sad Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know, Greg. Who is more depressed, Aaron Rodgers or our governor? Because each
that's a good
cut,
good question.
Each cut, they sound like more just down and mad than the other.
Yeah. This uptick in cases.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I I feel like the governor may be coming around a little bit. He looks a little.
Yeah,
more...
well, they opened things up. You know, there's a change.
Well,
now.
Biden
COVID's
won.
Gone.
Yeah, COVID is gone. That's right.
COVID's gone.
COVID left
by
on
the way,
January 22nd.
COVID's gone in California. That's good news. They're
good
opening
news.
The restaurants up.
French lottery's jammed tonight.
What day was the inauguration again?
last week.
The 21st?
It's the 20th every time.
The 20th? All right, so the
20th every
21st
year.
Is when everything changed.
By the way, U2, which we were just playing, the best, the number one ever halftime show of the Super Bowl. Not even a close second out there.
Bruce was pretty good, and so was Tom Petty, but and Prince. Prince was pretty good.
Bono with the jacket with the American flags on it, yes. Opening it up.
And also, Wiggy, the guys in U2, mm-hmm. Not brothers.
Oh, okay.
BG's brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Clydesdales, all brothers. But
what about Hanson?
Yeah, I don't know much about Hanson. I heard Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake was the best halftime show ever. So, I mean, that's just what I heard.
It was her boob.
This year it's The Weeknd.
Yes.
Excuse me, it's The Weeknd.
Weeknd.
Better than Maroon 5.
Doesn't do much
Weeknd.
For me.
Who was last year? Wasn't it J-Lo and Shakira?
Yeah, Shakira. Yeah. Remember they got all the complaints?
Oh, yeah, they did.
I was recharging my batteries listening to Ken talk about Shakira all day.
La 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 la.
The visual on you doing that from the side was fantastic, by the way.
Oh, that was classic. Boy. Shakira was classic.
Oh, yeah. Are they still having the Super Bowl parties and things?
No.
Asking for
in
a
secret,
friend.
In secret. I'm sure you can find one or three.
Right. Just know I mean, the special knock.
Like, you know,
just wait for Greg's social media.
Well, I might be down there for the weekend. I don't know if I'm going to go to any kind of super spreader events
wait,
or anything like
so
that.
So you'll be down there for the weekend, but not for the weekend.
For the weekend.
You'll see several stories of Greg doing the start on the floor and pan up to whatever the view is. And he'll approach someone and talk to them and be like, hey.
Gordy's
hey, Glash, I'm going to do an Instagram story.
Gordy's like, who is this guy? Why is he walking behind me?
Just follow Fauci.
I'm 2 years behind on my token Gordy marathon day photo at Greg's fundraiser where my face only comes up as high as his chest.
Yeah, well, hopefully the marathon will happen in October. That's what they're talking about. Okay. Columbus Day weekend.
Well, Marty will be gone by then, so maybe.
No chance.
Did you send Ernie the list of the suite availables in the package that you
did? Yeah.
Of those five, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, of those five quarterbacks that Ken brought up during his lead, which one would you say today is most likely to be your Patriots quarterback next? Wouldn't you say it's Matthew Stafford, most likely?
Yeah, I would probably say Stafford, because Stafford's the one guy that we know the organization has basically said we're actively shopping him. You probably could get him for the 15th overall pick and some other draft picks. Deshaun Watson.
That's a no-go. I mean, everybody keeps talking about it like it's a possibility. It doesn't seem like it's any kind of a possibility.
No, they're not even in the top 10 of favorites to land him, according to Vegas.
But you mean him not getting traded? Or?
No, him being here.
Well, if you did a Ricky
Williams,
if you did a Ricky Williams type deal, who knows? If you traded your whole draft this
Casario
year?
Is not trading Deshaun Watson to Belichick. It's just not happening. But I think Jimmy G is the most likely, Greg.
Yeah.
I really think you said that. So. I think you're right.
I mean, he knows the system, and mm-hmm. Bill
yeah, he's
is,
another one.
And Bill and Lynch Bill. And Shanahan are all friends. They have a very good relationship. I could easily see that happening.
But the problem with them is they're in a situation where they're picking number 12, right? So if you trade him, are you going to be able to package up enough to maybe get higher? And then are you taking a young guy? Or do you feel confident in Jimmy G? Because Jimmy G's record is pretty good with the 49ers, right? Without him, they're not very good. And if you have a team that was in the Super Bowl last year with this quarterback, and I don't think he's anything spectacular, but who are you moving on to?
I mean, is it possible that Green Bay lets Aaron Rodgers go?
Yeah,
I think
drafted a guy, and if he wants out, he's going to force his way out of there.
Right. Why would you draft a guy if you weren't willing, especially in the first round and you traded up to get that guy, if you weren't willing to move on from the guy you had?
His money is not that unreasonable. $22 million this coming season, then $25.5 million for the next 2 years. 3 years of Aaron Rodgers at that kind of money?
That's pretty good.
Teamed up with Belichick?
Oh, that's pretty good. That's the guy that, you know, that's the guy I would go after. And you probably can get, you know, and he's somebody that if you package like your 15th overall pick and some other draft picks, that's a guy you could realistically get.
I have a poll question up. Who has the best chance of being the Patriots week one starter next year? Jimmy G, Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson, or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I like that.
All right. I saw your poll.
That's on the Twitter.
And we know it, but feed. I don't
nice
we,
of you to say, Dale.
Don't we think we know who's going to win because of all the things that you just said? It's going to be Jimmy G because he knows the system, this, that, the other. And I think
it's this, that.
A dramatic
tone
for put
that
effect.
Up. Choice is, four, this, that, the
it
other.
It is, but when you think when you think about it, a lot of people are going to say, you can't get Deshaun Watson because the price is too steep. You're not going to be able to get Aaron Rodgers because they're more than likely they're not going to trade him. So the two guys that are probably be closest to winning that poll would be Stafford and Garoppolo. And people are going to say, well, Bill loves Garoppolo and it'd be him. I mean, I would take Garoppolo's name out of the poll and then go with the other three
that's
guys.
That's what you would have done?
Yeah. Because,
if you had done the poll?
If I would have done, because
so now you're doing Curtis's job for him?
It's like, it's a
quickie Twitter poll.
Who do you hate more now? Oh, sorry.
This is John. Hello, John.
Good morning, good people. How you all doing?
What's up?
What up?
If you guys are fans of PTI, which I am, those boys were conjecture. They didn't conjecture. They said Rodgers is out of there. And then one of them, plus I think Kornheiser said he thinks he's going to be playing in San Francisco next year, which would obviously put Jimmy G into play.
Yeah.
I personally think Stafford playing for that organization, I mean, he's got the physical skills, and you just don't know if he's a winner or not because of the team he's been playing for all these years, you know?
Well, what's
personally,
his,
I'd be...
Do we talked about this yesterday briefly, but does he have a good relationship with Patricia or no?
It's suspected not. A friend of mine who works there was on with Tangway and Wiggy over the weekend, and I believe Wiggy, Justin Rose from the station, he said basically not.
So that would be that would be a bone of contention,
possibly. But Patricia's not really coaching; he's just behind the scenes.
He's like a do everything guy, isn't he?
A do boy.
He's like Belichick Stiz.
Yeah. And if you're Matthew Stafford, you probably never even see him. You probably won't talk to him. You'll deal with Josh McDaniels and all the offensive guys.
When is this coming in, by the way? He made a rogue dip run to New Hampshire the other day flavor dip.
Wow. Why are you throwing him under the bus, guy? Just keep that to yourself.
You could do that. That's legal. You could drive across the border to get fireworks and cheap liquor and,
you're getting
and
antsy.
Flavored dip.
Tomorrow. One for the house and one for the
road. Is this going to participate in the Brady song off?
Yeah, he can take my job.
Nope. Curtis, you have to do your own. Curtis, if anybody is going to pay tribute in song to Tom Brady on Friday, it's going to be you.
Oh, wow.
My life is literally just one big tribute to the guy. Why do I have to sing a song?
You're not exempt.
Oh, man. Don't get scared now.
Thomas Edward Patrick Brady III.
I can help you out. I'm done with mine.
Mine.
Yes.
My song is going to be this, that, or
the other.
The other.
It's a pretty good song. Done with my Patriots song.
Anybody looking at Cam Newton right now as their quarterback next season?
I told you. There's still a possibility there.
Okay.
Oh, there's still a possibility
If Bill drafts somebody, you're going to need a veteran free agent.
All right.
You want Fitzpatrick? Who you want?
He is Gonski.
You want Andy Dalton?
Yes. Over Cam, yes.
It's going to be interesting.
He gone!
It's really not at all interesting.
No, it is, actually.
He's awful.
No, it's going to be interesting what Bill does.
No, I mean, Cam Newton is not interesting to me at all.
He gone!
He's interesting to Wiggy.
Yeah.
Have you guys spoken?
Holla at my boy, man.
Do you have his number?
When I get down to the A, we're going to link up.
What?
Greg doesn't know what that means.
What do you mean?
Jermaine.
When I go to Atlanta.
Thank you.
We are going to possibly hang out and high five each other.
Greg thought the A was Ashland.
Yes.
I thought it was appetizer.
Hey, I didn't even know who FKA Twigs was until Wiggy explained her to me based on this lawsuit that she filed against Shia LaBeouf.
Yes. This is a whole thing.
What's the deal with that? Like, Shia LaBeouf, when they were dating, he made her. She was not allowed to look other men in the eye.
Correct.
When they were walking around.
Yep. She filed this whole suit. So right after Valentine's Day in 2019, he was driving a car and she was in the passenger seat and he was driving like all over the road, kept taking off his seatbelt, threatening to crash, and like, I'm going to crash this car if you don't tell me that you love me, like that kind of manipulative, like narcissistic, you know, gaslighting nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess they were coming back from a trip in the desert. He was screaming at her the whole time. She said that he once woke her up in the middle of the night by choking her, not in the fun way. when they were driving, she begged him to stop the car. He finally pulls over to a gas station. She pulls her stuff out of the trunk because they were coming back from a trip, so she had bags. He then allegedly assaulted her, threw her against the car, screamed in her face, and forced her to get back into the car.
Wow.
Like, what a mess. What a mess.
But he wouldn't allow her to look other men in the eye?
Nope.
This is like how Dale and Keith treat each other the same way.
It seems a little extreme.
Come on, Greg. Come on. Don't act like you don't know guys like that.
But he's Shia LaBeouf.
So what's that mean?
And? He's a Hollywood superstar. He could have anybody, couldn't he?
Yeah, but so
well, that's what narcissists and people that have that that, you know, personality defect do, is they groom people. And it's like with any type of abusive relationship. In the beginning, it's little things that you don't really pick up on it, and you just kind of keep consenting to, like, all right, well, this is a little bit weird, like the Army Hammer stuff probably.
Right. Yeah.
Like, this is kind of weird, but whatever, I'll roll with it. I really like the guy. And then, you know, 5 years later, you look back and you're like, wow, I would never have put up with any of this when I started dating this person. Like, well, who am I?
You can find three guys like that in Revere right now.
Three?
Yeah.
Why are you picking Revere?
It's just something about Revere, guys.
People live in Revere.
Don't you look in his eyes?
Well, that's not a way to.
I see you looking at Anthony.
This is not a way to love forever.
Oh, but I'm saying there's guys like that. I know guys like that.
It is when you trap somebody in the car, they can't get out. So it's going to be forever.
Did I see yesterday that Army Hammer carved his initials into a woman that he was dating?
Yeah, I think we talked about that when, like, the very first story came out. He carved his initials in, and she was just like, okay. And he fully denies this. But this was that Paige, what's her last name? Paige Lorenz.
Paige influencer?
Yes. That was the first Instagram model.
That's her full name?
So he carved her name in him?
It wasn't like Mark Wahlberg in Fear when it said Nicole forever, which is one of the greatest scenes in cinematography ever. Fight me. But he carved like his initials, A-H, into her skin.
Oh, wow. Like a tattoo.
And he's like, nah, that never happened.
Could have just got a tattoo. You didn't have to do all that.
Freak. Jeez. All right. So Shia LaBeouf.
He's a good actor, Shia LaBeouf, though.
He is?
Oh, man.
Canceled.
Cancel.
Get rid of all the Terminators movies. Cancel.
This was a while back. Didn't he make that movie that Honey Boy was supposed to be really good?
Yeah, Titanic.
What happened in that one?
That's Leo.
He hasn't. A 617 texter says that he hasn't been relevant in years, and that I'm an idiot for saying that he was a Hollywood superstar. So I'm clueless.
I mean, just because he isn't doing much in the public eye doesn't mean. But like people say, you say Shia LaBeouf, and most people know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's doing. You know, he's not handing out autographed 8x10s like Wiggy. People know who he is.
I just look at it. From what I heard, he did award winning in that Honey Boy that just came out.
Honey Boy?
Yeah.
Like, how many more times are you going to mention that?
A year ago. Well, that's his most recent movie, Dan.
Going back to what Jeremy Wiggins said.
That's the most recent movie.
I'll tell you what looks really good is that new Denzel Washington movie.
Oh, man. That thing is spectacular. That trailer for that movie.
That trailer look awesome?
Yeah, what's it called? Like Curry Favor with Wiggy. That is so transparent.
Hold on.
I love that Denzel Washington movie.
He's a great actor.
Oh, he's the best actor.
He's a fantastic actor.
Come on. Edgy take.
Come on. Come on. Come on, man.
No, I'm just telling you, it's the first time I've seen a trailer for a movie that actually looks good.
The little things.
The little things.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved Argo.
And you can't. And, what's the dude who played the Joker? Oh, Jared Leto. Leto. Is it Leto or Leto?
Leto.
He's Jared in it.
Jordan Leto. Catalano.
He's in it. He's another really good actor. And he looks, he plays, it looks like a serial killer. And it looks really good.
Looks like a serial killer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Denzel,
Honey Boy stunk, by the way. Everybody says
Is that what
Honey
they said? I don't know. I mean, that's what the critics were saying. It was a good movie. All right.
We'll put it up there with The Platform and Mother for Wiggy.
Oh, God. Those two movies, they...
Right? They will mess with you.
Anybody,
Danielle,
after seeing Mother and Platform, I realized that anybody can make a movie. Yeah. It is possible. You don't have to have no, you know, film, you know, degree, anything. You could just make a movie.
You don't need no film degree.
No, I think I'm going to make a movie.
Okay.
Tell that to Fitzy.
I'll tell him to his face.
This is Al. From Everett. What's up, Al?
What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
So, anyway, real quick before I go on, my best friend is a couple of places up in Old Orchard. They'd love to get involved with the cornhole.
Oh,
for the foundation next year. I can leave a number after if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm working on a way to make the beach cornhole tournament even better for this year. So I will I would love to have them. We'll be back at the Brunswick, I'm sure. Hopefully by the time we do that, you know, we target May for that event. Maybe people will be allowed to be there and interacting with other people. So yes, okay. Keep hang on after, and we'll get
it's
the info.
It's a great time. It's a great time. Yeah. So listen, anyway, Curtis. Listen to this. You're going to love this one.
All right.
15 years I've been telling people how overrated this guy is. Coach Coattails, I call him. Coach Coattails has already been exposed like you read about, and it's only going to get better or worse for him, let me tell you. And if you think the Crafts and some Wiggy, what you're missing about this whole Craft thing, and just now, you read up what Brady's father said, and I'm telling you what happened. Do you think they've been happy? They've been happy. He saved his career, Tom Brady. Saved that a-hole's career, and he treated them like dirt. And you think the Crafts have been happy for 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, however long it's been, trying to keep him happy with Tom Brady? Because that's what they've been doing. And when Tom Brady went into went to see Bob Kraft on that Monday night or whatever night that was, to tell him he was all done, you don't think that the Krafts did the same thing that they did last time and said, listen, we'll talk to Bill. We'll talk to him. We'll get you the right contract. We'll talk him into it. And he just flat out said to them, Bob, I appreciate it. Not this time. I can't do it anymore. That's what happened. I'll give you dollars to donuts, and he's about to get fired. Fired next year. The greatest coach of all time. Ken, you were fooled, Ken. You were fooled by the greatness of Tom Brady. He just dragged Bruce Arians' ass to a Super Bowl. And Bill so Belichick will go down as the most overrated sports person of all time. I've been saying it for 15 years.
Of all
I'm not
time?
Jumping on now.
Yeah, so you believe Bill has been exposed?
Mm. Exposed? It's just beginning, Greg. It's beginning. He's going to get fired. You watch. He's terrible. Look at his graph. And I could come in there for an hour and go through everything chronologically. 10 years he went with the greatest quarterback of all time, with his terrible drafting after he lost that great defense that Bill Parcells built.
Uh-huh.
After he lost that defense, for 10 years he went and didn't win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady because of his bad drafting. And only if Brady masked all his deficiencies all this year. Look at his record without him. Look at his 8 years without him. Never even won a division. So stop calling him the greatest coach of all time because he ain't even close.
Oh, all right.
I think that's why Bill is, when he says on the hot seat, Tom's dad, maybe like, if Bill doesn't prove, because Tom's already proven it, I can get to another Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Whether he wins or lose, I think it's a kind of a moot point at this situation. But Bill Belichick is now, this is the narrative, if he does not get to another Super Bowl.
Well, when we get to trending, coming up in just a little bit, what Tom Brady Sr. said about the Crafts and about Bill Belichick. So that is coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.